Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Let's sing it again. Take in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Take in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit. Let's sing that. Cast me not away again. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. We give everyone a warm welcome into our service this morning. And we want to turn to Matthew 24. The Lord bless you, each one. And please continue to pray for Sister Eiling and Brother George. And pray for wee Laurie as well. And just to any folks that's maybe not able to come this morning, just keep them in prayer that the Lord will bless them and touch them. And the Lord bless those that's here. And I just want to share with you this morning some things about the last days. And I read some things, thinking back to COVID. I came on some things I'd looked up. And I might mention some things this morning. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 37 of Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Praise God. Let's bow our heads, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. While every head's bowed, every eye closed this morning. Praise God. God bless. God bless. So many needs, but God bless. Heavenly Father, we humbly, reverently bow before you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we're coming this Sunday to remember your life, death, burial, resurrection. As we take the bread and the wine, Lord, we're remembering you. What you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, that you came. And Lord, we thank you for it, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit in this service. Father, I pray for the hands raised, you know, every single need. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll meet every single need to every individual person, Lord, in this room with the hands raised. Maybe someone listening in with a need, may you meet every need. Answer prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Pray again for Auntie Eileen, Lord, that you'll bless her, that you'll touch her, that you'll be with her, that the angel of the Lord, the covenant angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be near, that you'll be with her. Pray, Lord, for George, that you'll give him your strength, your grace, your courage. Lord, that he live and not die in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless him, bless Winifred, it's already been prayed. Bless wee Larry this morning, cover him with your blood, keep him safe. For others, Lord, that maybe couldn't be here this morning, bless them, watch over them. Bless the service, Lord, and thou wouldst tarry to tonight. Meet with us afresh, Lord, keep us at the apple of thy eye, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you'll forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of the water of the word. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless you, Brother Yule. Yule was about the youngest fella in our class. And that's actually true. There were some other fellas in his class. I'll not mention the names. They were even a wee bit older than Yule. Yule's only a young fella. Fresh Yule, that's it, boy. I'm telling you, we're only getting started. God's good, isn't it? Living in the last days, this is a tremendous scripture. And you know, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, I believe Noah was a real person. I don't believe the ark. It's just a story, but I believe Noah was a real person. I believe the ark was real. The flood was a great fact. And I believe that the second coming of the Son of Man will be an unfailing certainty as well. And we know that God has sent a ministry in the last days already. And we know the spirit of Elijah is coming. That's to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic message. We believe that. But we also believe there's to be a rapture, a catching away of the bride of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's nearer than ever. Nearer than ever. And it's the Lord's coming is at hand. And Noah's time is this time again. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And we're here. We're not waiting on them days coming. They are here. We are living in history repeating itself. And I want to look at some of them things. What state and the condition of the world will be when he comes. And it's clearly revealed as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Nothing could be more simple than these scriptures. They're simple scriptures, and they're a warning, and they're a sign. Now, God spoke to Noah the message, and you know, Noah's time was certainly a scientific age. A scientific age, and it was unbelievable, unbelievable. They were so reliant on their science that they couldn't believe Noah. And when we had what the world called a pandemic, which I don't believe was a pandemic, I'm sorry, COVID-19. Our government here and governments all over the world depended on science. So-called Christian believers were hoodwinked, in my honest opinion. And they depended on science rather than the Word of God. And they went by science rather than the Word of God. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Now God told Noah, God said to Noah, Noah, I will flood the earth. I will destroy man. Noah believed it. Noah believed it. Noah not only believed it, he went into action. And action proves your faith. Noah had action. And he began to build that ark. And he built that ark the way God told him. He didn't build with the wood what people thought. He didn't do it the way people thought. And I haven't time this morning, but it's another message all about the ark. It's a great message. Maybe sometime or one of the other brothers could preach on it or myself. When you look at that wood and all them things, a lot of people will tell you he used the wrong wood. Well, I'm sorry, he used the right wood. He used the wood God told him. Every single thing about it was absolutely perfect. It was the shape of a coffin. And I know they said, there's that old Egypt. He's got them young people down there and he's going to seal them in that coffin. Sealing them into the coffin. But he was sealing them into safety. Amen. And the scientific agency and all that there must have been preachers in Noah's day. I'm going to read you a great quote here in a minute about it. But it never had rained. You realize that it never rained. That it used to be before the flood that the dew watered the ground at night. There was no such thing as rain. So because of scientific knowledge and the scientific notes and facts and charts and thermometers and all the stuff they had, they said, well, sure, it's never rained, it won't rain. But the thing is, God said it's going to rain. And Noah believed God. Now, the same God that said it's going to rain said he's coming for a people that's ready. And there's going to be a catching up, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we know it. We are going to be changed. We're going to go to be with the Lord. Our loved ones could appear onto us at any moment and we'll go. Do you realize that? The dead in Christ will rise first. We're going to be getting out of here. All but the scientists, not interested. God's word. No one could believe it. It never rained upon the earth. It was unscientific. It wasn't scientifically proved. Now, William Branham made a tremendous statement in another message when he said, you see, when Moses got up there and there was a burning bush and the voice said, take your shoes off. And he said, the bush burned and he couldn't understand how it kept burning. Now, you know, if you burn a bush, eventually it'll burn out. It won't last long if it's dry. It'll burn out. He says, what if Moses had took a leaf off it and went down and scientifically analyzed it? He said, God never would have worked any further with it. But we know he didn't. But he was making a point. Moses didn't go on scientific. Moses went on God. I am. And Noah here is not going on scientific. He's going on God. And we, if we claim we're the bride, and we claim we're the true church, and we claim we have faith, we need to go on God. We appreciate other things. We thank God for them. But we cannot depend on them. We have to depend on God. And though the thing can be the total opposite, but God said, never had rained. What are you going to do with that? Never had happened before. But God said it's going to happen. Listen to this here from a message called Proving His Word. Perhaps they were greater scientific age than we are now. And many people believe the word. Because they built pyramids, phoenixes and so forth. In those days that we can't build now. They was acquainted with a power. Some kind of a mechanical power. Perhaps atomic. Or something. That could lift those big boulders and things. And we can't do it today. But they did great scientific things. They had something they could embalm a body. Make it look natural for hundreds of years. And he says, we've lost that art. Jesus says that it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And we know that we are to enter into another great scientific age. And we have. And now the message that Noah had was very much contrary to the belief of that day in the church. And it was also very much contrary to the scientific research. But God provided his word to be the truth. God proved that it was the truth. Because he had a prophet, and that prophet of the truth, and that was Noah. Now you know the dead's the exact same thing. You know there's very, very few groups preach of a secret rapture. Now we believe we're going to go be going, and the world will continue on. Everything will continue, shops, everything, because you know that when the bride of Jesus Christ goes out, the true church, that the tribulation sets in. And God then deals with them Jews. And he sends them Moses and Elijah with a message. And they seal them. And then also there's the multitude coming out of great tribulation. There's foolish virgins as well coming out. Now, I'm not preaching that this morning, but I'm just saying. But we're definitely in a scientific age. Our government was, when you look back, let's be truthful. When we look back this morning, the man in charge of this country was moved by science. He had no time for things of God. And where was our politicians to have a day of fasting and praying? Never heard much noise out of them. Now, I'll tell you one thing. When Ian Paisley was living, he called for it. Ian Paisley called for a day of fasting and praying many years ago in this country. He did it more than once. But I haven't heard too many calling for it in our time. And even some of the big churches, never heard them. They're silent. Absolutely silent. The doors were closed. And it didn't take much for the devil to close every place down. And you think of it. William Branham said, the time will come when they'll drive you out. They'll not want you to fellowship when you've got the truth. You'll have to meet secretly. And there's countries in the world that are doing that right now. They're meeting underground because it'd kill them. We're privileged. We are privileged people. But let me keep with the subject at hand this morning. Here's the first thing. As there was great growing wickedness in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. And there was great growing wickedness in the days of Noah. And I tell you, it's the same today. The Russia and Ukraine's at war. Now there's other wars as well. And I'm given to believe that he wears the red hat. President Trump. He's went in somewhere and arrested the Trump drug lord. Everybody's up in arms. And may God graze his elbow. He should take a few more of them. Lock them up. He's doing the right thing, in my opinion. But he's going to start trouble. Sure, you know he is. But it's inevitable. That's all I'll say. It's inevitable. But I agree with what he's done. Done the right thing. And I tell you, how many young people have we in this country here stuck on drugs? And they're treating them. And they're medicating them. And the parents are doing it. The parents are up in arms. But the problem is the boy's selling it. Where's the forces? Where's the government? And the army, the police, to get the boys to bringing in the stuff. They caught a boy here the other day in this country with the boots and I don't know how many millions of pounds worth of drugs going on the street to give young people. Them's the boys need caught. There's no point working with some weak fella or weak girl. You need to go to the root of the problem. But you see, the world did not go on growing better and better. Noah's day, it got worse and worse. It grew worse and worse till God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his heart was evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. Man got worse and worse and worse. And we're living in a day again, and the Bible says there shall come a great falling away. A great falling away. And the Bible says God will give them strong delusions. And people are getting strong delusion today. And there's a lot of things I could mention, but I better not. But I could. Especially around the message circles. There's so much going on that's wrong. And they're not preaching what was originally preached. But they think they are, but they are not. And that's a sad thing. A real sad thing. And great men that was mightily used, now they think they're more than they should think. Some of them even claims they're God himself. And poor Joseph Branham the Quaker. And let me say this morning, I'm not here to talk about Joseph Branham, but he believed William Branham was actually the Holy Spirit. That come out of his own mouth. Now I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but I do not believe that. William Branham said, I am just your brother. I point you to Jesus Christ. But that's the type of stuff that's going about. That somebody has took it. Now, That's just not a doctrinal mistake. There's another spirit working there. Let's be honest about it. There's another spirit. That, in my opinion, is strong delusion. And if we're going to preach against the Pope of Rome, that he's Antichrist, there's a lot more boys we'll have to put on that list and give them a good blast. How can they escape? And they won't. They won't. The genuine anointing will expose the enemy every time. They're false. Strong delusions. So man's evilness get worse and worse and worse, and we're living in that time. You know, here in Northern Ireland, you know, in some places, a young girl to hardly walk out now. Did you know that? Did they hardly walk out? They'd be attacked. There's so many attacks been happening in this country, it's unbelievable. And all the trouble, there was trouble not long ago, and fires and all, and it was all up in arms and on the news. But the news didn't tell what started. They didn't tell that part of it. But a wee girl that never got home. And what was done to her? They never told that bit of it. But this is evil days we're living in. We don't need to look at America or somewhere over the world. It's here at our own feet, at our own doorsteps. Evil. And did you ever see an age where the spirit of suicide's rife? Now I want to say this morning in this pulpit, and I don't care who it offends. You cannot fix suicide with a tablet. Get away with you. That's nonsense. There's no way a tablet will fix the spirit of suicide. It's a demon from the pit of hell. I was reading in the Prophet Physics South Africa this morning on a page 70, page 80. There's a young man came in that prayer line 7 years of age with a heart condition, and the Prophet of God called out and he said, that's a demon. A demon that's causing you the heart problems. Now you're healed. Go on, you go, and you'll preach the gospel. And he did. The devil. We didn't know we were working with the devil. And you cannot cast a demon out with a tablet. Whether it's one of these tablets or a tablet you take, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah. Luke 17, 29, 30. Now Luke 29 and 30. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man's revealed. Now you remember this here. Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. Brother Branham said they are the two messengers to the nominal church world. And he referred it to this scripture here. Follow me for a moment. He said that the three came to Abraham, and Abraham's at the tent door. And Abraham, a discernment, he never said, my lords, he said, my lord, singular. Because one of them was Melchizedek, and there was two angels with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek stays with Abraham, revealed the secrets of the heart with his tent, with his back turned to the tent. He told Sarah what she's thinking. And she's in, he can't see in there, but he's gone. And the two messengers go on down into Sodom and Gomorrah and preach to them. But the point of making is, he says, you watch when those two angels went out and went up, the fire fell. And Billy Graham and Oral Roberts has went, so it's time for the fire to fall. We're at the end time. History has certainly repeated itself. And we are living in the last days. We're at the end of this Laodicean age. We're ready to step out into eternity. To have a body change. To leave here. Our loved ones could appear on us at any minute. We're going to go. We'll not be here no more. We're living in an evil day. Now I want to read you this morning. And I won't speak long because I want to do communion and. But 2020 was when I first looked a bit at this, and you know the law was changed in this country. This weak country stood up for so many wonderful things, but the law was changed, and abortion was brought into this country. Now, before I read this, and I feel the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning in me, I want to say to any older woman or younger woman, if you've ever did this, God can forgive you. I want to make that abundantly clear. And I'm not just talking in this service. If anybody ever listens to this, I don't want them thinking that we're blasting women because of this. And that, look, God can forgive a murderer. And God can forgive a woman or a that's done anything can be forgiven. All manner of sin, I believe of all manner. But I'm just giving you these statistics because we're living in evil times. And there's no way we cannot put this under evil. 2020, look at the abortions in the UK recorded. 200,000. And the COVID deaths in the UK was 120,000. Now you know, and you girls, it's nurses and stuff, and doctors know that that's an exaggerated lie. Because if you're hit by a car, you're put down as COVID. If you drop dead with a heart attack, you're put down as COVID. Every single person died with COVID at that time, which was lies. And how many people that's got COVID injections are still being affected with? And that's the truth now. And that people are starting to actually prove that. That's no longer just a statement. People are proving now that COVID injection has long lost bad effects, not good effects. And let me warn you, do never go again for it. If you've had several injections, may God help you and touch you and may it never harm you, is my sincere prayer. But don't go again. Do not go again for another dose of that garbage. Stay away from it. I know a man and he had got it and he told his wife he wouldn't be getting it again. She was going for more of it. And I'll tell you, that woman almost died. I personally prayed for her and I know that. And these people are Catholics. They're Catholic people, but I love them in the Lord. And that man near died as well. But all these wee things are kept quiet. But let's tell the truth. Now you take 120 with COVID and that was a pandemic, but yet 200,000 abortions and it's never mentioned, but it's on the records. That's how I got it. By 2021 that went up to 14,000, almost 15,000 to 214, 869 abortion reported in England and Wales since the law changed 2020 March the 31st. 664 abortions have took place already in 4 months here in Northern Ireland. As of the 23rd of May, 23, almost 6,000 abortions on average across 3 years since the law was changed here in Northern Ireland. People think they'll not just be as many, they'll die off. It's the opposite. Now up to the 31st of March, 25, we're bringing up the present date. I've brought this up, researched it. 11,192 abortions have been carried out in Northern Ireland. 11,192. Now, our politics, particularly Sinn Féin, want to tell us it's for young people that's get into trouble and things that's happened, but I can prove that's all lies. Absolute lies. 24 to 25, almost 3,000 abortions. And you can have an age breakdown. And when you have an age breakdown, there was only 74 abortions for young girls under 18. Now listen to me, 74 from the thousands under 18. The rest was over 18. But yet they try and tell us it's for young people who's got in trouble. And I can't say all of it, but you can read between the lines here. But I'm telling you, it's not right. And you realize it's going to be a day of reckoning. Now you have to understand that them children is the blessings of the Lord. And that's a wee life. And I tell you what, I believe in life, not death. And if we claim we're Christians, we need to be life, not death. We're life. Him and the Son's life. I tell you, it's terrible. These figures were released in December 25, and this has been the highest number since the law in Ireland was changed. It's gone up, gone up. Proof we're living in evil days. Proof we're living in evil times. Job 31:15 says, did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? So this idea that in the womb's nothing, that is a contradiction to Scripture. Let's just get it straight here. This here is our absolute, the Bible. Not a title or some name of a movement, but the Bible is our absolute. The Word of God is the principles we are. No book but the Bible, no creed but Christ. That was the best messengers saying all the time. Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. And I believe it's killing. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 16, let me read you. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being under upper perfect. And in my book all my members were written, which is in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now I know you can say this is about the Lord, and I believe it is, but it's also showing us and telling us God knows every single bit of us. And every one of us have a wee stump. There's scientific names for it. There's doctor names for it. But I'm telling you, God knows every single bit of us ever before we start. And there's a day of judgment coming. A day of judgment coming. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is coming again. We're living in a land and a country that looks to scientists for their leading rather than God. That's the country we're in tonight. And you see some of the things, what the laws has passed and done, it's unreal. But they've done it. 1 Timothy 6, 20 to 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and opposition to science, falsely so called. Avoid it. Which some profess and have erred concerning the faith, grace be with thee. And we saw it firsthand. In the last days, perilous times, 2 Timothy 3:1. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, great time of distress, great time of trouble. And we're living in a great time of distress and a great time of trouble. Now there's a message the prophet preached, and he talked about letting off the pressure. How many of you ever heard that? Letting off the pressure. And I tell you, every one of us need that. And that's the Lord we do that with. Amen. We can let off the pressure, because this world wants to pressurize us. But it's in the Lord we're free. Amen. And the Lord can get the pressure off us, because he bore it all at Calvary and he carried it for us. Perilous times, dangerous times. Now, we know that 2 Timothy talks about not enduring sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4 and 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now I tell you, that's what we've got today, a bunch of teachers with itching ears. I never seen a time, let me tell you, I never seen a time where men put themselves in pulpits and God never put them in. And how many churches and groups do you know, and somebody breaks away and all of a sudden he's pastor so-and-so, and nobody's ever heard tell of him, and he could be 50 and he's never preached once in his life, and overnight all of a sudden he's a minister. Now I'm sorry, that's pure nonsense. When God puts his hand on a man, he puts it on him young, I believe. Now, I'm not saying God won't use somebody older, but he's mostly calls them from the young. But I tell you, we have people today, and you have to check the fruits out. And we are to judge. We are to judge this idea. This age has put on people a condemnation. Don't you judge anything. We're to judge according to Scripture. We must give everything a word test and see if it's according to the law and the prophets. And I tell you, when God calls a man, the anointing of God through the whole Bible on every prophet and on every king and everything, that was what happened. They were anointed to be king. They were anointed to be prophet. They were anointed to be the priest. They were anointed. And that's God's way. It doesn't matter about that today. If they're smart or educated, all of a sudden they're called to do it. And I tell you, this is the end time. Teachers have an itch in ears. Where's the evangelist? Oh, brother, you see, we've come through a false statement has went through the land and through England and all over the world that it's no longer time for evangelists. Absolute nonsense. I tell you what, I want to rebuke that this morning. The angel of the Lord came to a prophet. A prophet of God. What did he tell him? You'll be a teacher all your life. He never told him that once. He said, you will be an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. He didn't say you'll be an evangelist, but he said, do the work of an evangelist. Make foolproof for your ministry. And we need evangelism more than ever. Because the world's dying and it's going the wrong road. And brothers, we can't let the tools down. There a few weeks ago, you know the message, but building on the wall, a brother John preached, but building on the wall. And they had to keep the spears with them and the weapons with them and keep building. And I tell you, that's the way it is this morning. We need to keep on going and having evangelism and everything and try our best till we get out of here. Amen. I believe it. Also, 2 Peter 2 and 1 talks about damnable heresies or destructive heresies. But there were false prophets also among the people. Now, because somebody's father's a prophet does not automatically make the son a prophet. Or because you had a relation, was used of God, does not do anything for you. Now understand me here this morning. That person, thank the Lord, they could pray for you. That would do a lot. But I'm not meaning it like that. What I'm saying is, there's no right given just because you're related to something or somebody. William Branham said clear and plain, God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Every single person must be identified with Jesus Christ themselves. My mother's and father's experience won't do for me. I have to have my own. I appreciate them. I appreciate men of God. Certainly I do. But the Lord had to talk to me. You know what I thought of when that fella said, there's another fella and he's preaching as well. One fella has the Holy Spirit over there and another boy, he has it somewhere else. They've decided where it is. And I thought to myself, it was in me. So it wasn't even me. And you know what was said to me? What was it spoke to me in the jail? If the Holy Spirit's over there and there and it can't be anywhere else, what was it turned my life around in that jail? What was it that spoke to me? What was it that spoke to you? Do you realize that you can't even be saved without the Holy Spirit moving on you? You are convicted to be saved by the Holy Spirit. No man can come unto me except my Father draws him. There's your Bible. And God and the Holy Spirit are the same one, because Jesus does not have two fathers. God is Spirit, and we must worship in Spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit's here. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if you go away over the country somewhere else, the Holy Spirit's there as well. Because my Bible says, for two or three gathered in His name, He is in the midst of them and not to bless Him. And I believe the Holy Spirit's still here and still with God's people. Whether they're here or over in Africa or Australia, the Holy Spirit, He's not like a person. That's why I don't believe in three persons, because they would be, there's three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sure, we believe that. But persons are restricted by their movement, by their body. But I wanted you to know the Holy Spirit's under no restriction by movement. He can be everywhere at the one time. Amen? And He can be moving in somebody way out here and here at the same time, the Holy Spirit. But there was false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. And they're doing it. And I don't hear too much mention of it, but they're doing it. They're preaching another gospel. That's exactly what's happening, because if they're not preaching this gospel. Now you remember one thing this morning, and God has stressed this on me, I believe this. The simplicity of this in Christ. We are not to get away from it. We are not to get away from the simplicity. There's no new way of getting saved, 26. When God sent a seven angel messenger, He didn't bring in a new way of getting saved. Don't you ever believe that? He preached the same gospel that Paul preached. He said that himself. And you're saved the same way you're always saved, by calling on the Lord. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Then you, as an obedient person, get baptized. And you take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, water baptism. And you're doing that death, burial, resurrection. Showing to the world that you're doing that with the Lord. Amen. Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. And God says it brings swift destruction on them. Doesn't it? Now I'm coming. We're going to do communion. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And I'm finishing here. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should be realized. Strong delusion. Misleading influence. Now, please forgive me, brothers and sisters. Now I know most of you will know nothing about it. And that's good. You're better not knowing. There's some things you're better not going on to listen, because they're not worth listening to. You're better to read your Bible and pray and seek the Lord. There's good men. There's good brothers. I believe there is. But there's some that have a name, and they're leading many astray. And many's following them because of the name. But they have a name, they live, but they're dead. They're dead. And without being born again, a person is dead. And remember the evidence of the Holy Spirit, that you can believe the truth. The truth. Well, then you'll up what some error. You'll want the truth. Isn't that right? For this cause, scoffers, walking after their own lust, mockers, knowing first that they're, 2 Peter 3:3, knowing there shall come the last day, scoffers walking after their own lust. And it's all to get people away from the Lord. Isn't that it? That's what it's all about, to turn people onto something else, but away from the Lord. But we want the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. God bless you this morning. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 11:23. And we're going to have the bread and wine remembrance. It'd be nice if we had our own place and we could do feet washing as well. But look, we have to do with what we can. And do we get what God wants? I was thinking the other day, God spoke in our meetings in that schoolhouse. Now, let me tell you this, we're going to come to communion. When you understand, at that time, I had been offered several positions to go to leave here to other churches. I was offered. Also, God gave me a dream that a man would come in our meeting, offer me a lot of money. And my dad came up the stairs. I was praying in the front room at home. He came up the stairs. The Holy Ghost fell on him at my door. And he came in the room speaking in tongues. Now, I'd already had the dream of this man coming to offer me money. And the Holy Spirit spoke through him. There will be a man come, and he will offer you money and offer you to go. But it's not of the Lord. Don't do it. What do you think of that? And you can say that's a coincidence if you want, but I don't believe it. Now, if I believe the doctrine that a lot's promoting today, that the Holy Ghost is one man away over here or there yonder, we wouldn't believe it. But we believe in the Spirit of God. Well, I'll tell you what, that boy appeared at our meetings at the schoolhouse. And if any of you was there and can remember, his daughters and all came in, they had lovely long hair, they were wonderful singers, and they sang and everything. And he said, "Brother, we're really close in doctrine," but we weren't really, but he thought we were, because he was extreme on his doctrine, and he still is. I don't even know where he is now, but anyhow, it's not important. But listen, there he was, and he said to me after, "Boy, I'll get you sponsorship. Would you hear this? Now I'm working a job, I'm doing these meetings." I was offered sponsorship of 180 churches. Says, "You'll never have to work again." Now God already showed me in the dream, this boy's coming. The prophecies, interpretation of tongues said it as well. Here he is. 180 churches. Sponsor, you'll never need to work again. You'll have all the money you want. God said no. Now at the same time I was thinking of going here and going yonder and doing this and doing that. And then the Holy Spirit spoke again in our meetings through my dad. "God has called you here. Do not leave this place. Many offers will come. Don't go. You will build here." Now I was thinking about this. Now maybe God wants us to build. Now you could sit there and think, we could never do it. We could never build our own hall. Why not? God can do anything. God can do anything he wants to do. And maybe we haven't got a hall because we're meant to build a hall. And God can supply the site and all, the whole lot. I'm just telling you, if you believe that with the Holy Spirit, I do. That's what was said. And you remember at that time the Holy Spirit said as well, people would come from all different parts of the world to that wee schoolhouse. And it happened. From all over the world, Australia, Germany, all parts of Africa, everywhere. God done it. Now, let me warn you. I feel to say this. Everything's not always the will of God, what you think, what you'll do or go. But you have to know God's will. And God's will might be actually a harder path to go down. But if that's the will of God, then we're better to do it. And I tell you what, we want God's will, don't we? Amen? So always pray about it. And God will make his will clear to you. Clear to you. Where you're to go. What you're to do. Thank God for this morning. God's good, isn't he? Let me read you this. We're going to do communion. I've maybe talked too long this morning, but maybe I hope you shall forgive me. Next Sunday night, a Brother Gary will be preaching. I've been invited to go to Darkley Mountain Lodge. I keep saying Darkley. Maybe that's wrong. Mountain Lodge. Next Sunday evening. You pray for us. The Lord will help us. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do, in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, if you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's just bow our heads, and we're going to thank the Lord for the ambulance. Then the deacons is going to come, and maybe the musicians. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the ultimate sacrifice for God's greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that atoning death, for for shedding your precious blood for us to wash all our sins away into the sea of your great forgetfulness. Lord, we're so glad for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, for that broken body broken for us, wounded, and by your stripes we're healed. Lord, will you bless this communion bread and the wine, and as we take it, Lord, we want to think of you and remember you, and we want to appreciate you. We're here because of you. We're in this service because of you. Everything we do, the very breath we breathe, is because of you. Now we welcome you, Lord, to be in the midst of our meeting, the center of our thoughts and focus. Lord Jesus, if we've sinned or done wrong or spoken wrong, forgive us, sanctify us. Help us, I pray. Lord, if I've said anything I shouldn't have said, forgive me, Lord Jesus. But help me to preach the truth in simplicity. And help us, Lord, to do your work, not somebody else's work, but your work. And help us to work till Jesus comes. Father, bless every brother and every sister in this room. Those that maybe couldn't be here, bless as well, and meet every single need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe in Jesus' name, just be in an attitude of prayer as the deacons come.